Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about that subject that so few people want to mention, old age. Somehow we're allowed to talk about teenage and middle age and the being 30-something. We talk about the golden age and the keen age. I've heard of churches that have groups of teenagers. But we never want to say that so-and-so is an old woman or an old man. Last of all, ourselves. Well, there are a lot of old people nowadays, and the number is constantly increasing. There are many reasons why people are living longer than they were before, and we hear alarming things about what's going to happen to the Social Security system because there are going to be so many old people. Lots of reasons to get very edgy and nervous about aging. But I think we ought to take inventory. If you're in middle age, let's say you're 40 or over, and maybe somebody's offended because I would call 40 middle age, but if you think you're going to live to 80, then 40 would sort of be the beginning of middle age, wouldn't it? Shouldn't we be taking inventory in middle age of the direction in which we're going and what sort of an old person we may turn out to be? We might ask ourselves a question like, do I love God enough? The first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Sometimes I feel as if my memory is going, and I think, oh dear, my mind is disintegrating, my brain cells are dying at an alarming rate. But I want to love the Lord with all my mind, whatever is left of it, as long as I draw breath. But of course, to contemplate my love for God is pretty heart-chilling and heart-contracting. It's much happier to contemplate His love for me, which is heart-warming and heart-expanding. The warm-hearted Christian, which is certainly what I want to be, is one who is not occupied with himself. The warm-hearted Christian is one who is free to be occupied with others. In Psalm 138, verses 7 and 8, it says, though I walk among foes, thou dost preserve my life, exerting thy power against the rage of my enemies, and with thy right hand thou savest me. The Lord will accomplish his purpose for me. Thy true love, O Lord, endures forever. Leave not thy work unfinished. I believe that God is at work in my life. Every minute of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. Just because I might look back and say, well, that was my crowning achievement of my life 15 years ago, doesn't mean that that's the way God looks at it. In fact, I don't think that with God there is such a thing as great or small. When you consider the immensity of the heavens and the microscopic tininess of the invisible things. He's the God of both. So don't look back and feel as if the great part of your life is finished. Pray this prayer of the psalmist. Thy true love, O Lord, endures forever. Leave not thy work unfinished. More than once I've had women who have raised their families and have moved into their 40s say to me, Well, what are you saying? What am I supposed to do? Sit around and twiddle my thumbs now? When I have talked to them about staying home. Because in Titus 2, 3 to 5, where Paul is instructing a young pastor about the things to teach older women, he says that they are to teach by example, and the older women are to teach the younger women to stay home. So if the older women are not setting the example of staying home, but are out gallivanting about doing this, doing that, going on cruises, taking courses, taking new degrees, or playing shuffleboard, tennis, golf, whatever, you name it, if that's all they do, and please don't assume that I think there's anything intrinsically wrong with those things, but if that's all that they have time to do, then it seems to me that they are leaving undone the most important job that every man and every woman is given in this world, which is to be, in some form or other, a spiritual mother and a spiritual father. Not all of us are given the privilege of becoming physical mothers and fathers, but all of us are potentially spiritual mothers and fathers. And this is the emphasis that I would like to make if I have opportunity to speak to older women. Are you willing to be a spiritual mother, voluntarily taking up burdens for the life of the world? Yeah, but I just finished laying down a whole bunch of burdens, I hear somebody saying. I just reared my children. I've poured my life into those children for 30 years. And now you're expecting me to go out voluntarily taking up more burdens? Yes. Yes, you got it. That's what I'm asking. Because the Bible says that the older women are to teach the younger. And the older man is to be a spiritual father to the younger. Fatherhood and motherhood always means laying down the life, learning to love. When I think of the colossal waste of time and energy and man and woman power that is going into retirement and all the fun and the Sun City syndrome, the traipsing back and forth across the continent in trailers or recreational vehicles or whatever, I think how sad, how tragic this is, that there are not more Christian men and women of the golden age, shall we say, who are serious about taking up the burdens of the younger ones. The world is desperate for examples, for paradigms, for models. So many young people, so many who are trying to raise families of small children have not had Christian backgrounds. They still don't have Christian parents to look to for support and for guidance and for counsel. I wonder where they are. I wonder where the spiritual mothers and fathers are in the churches. Have you considered this? Are you looking only for happiness? Well, if you're looking for happiness, then I believe that the happiest people are the people that are occupied with others. I'm convinced that the most miserable people are the people who are occupied with themselves. I'm not talking about a wicked life if all you're doing is retiring and enjoying yourself, but I am talking about a frittered life, split, scattered, uncoordinated, incoherent, incongruous. Does that describe your life? Your mind, is it a littered mind, full of casual trash, TV programs, magazines, spiritual junk food? Is your time spent flitting hither and yon, pecking here and there, retreats, seminars, luncheons, cruises, TV, newspapers? A frittered life. A littered mind, time spent flitting. How carefully do you apportion your time? If you decide to do this, then you can't do that. If you decide that God is calling you to be a spiritual mother or a spiritual father, then you can't do quite as many retreats and seminars and lunches and cruises and TVs and golf games, can you? If you decide to do the seminars and the luncheons and the cruises and the golf games, then obviously you can't be available as a spiritual mother. Anna L. Waring wrote this hymn, "Father, I know that all my life is portioned out for me, and the changes that will surely come I do not fear to see. But I ask thee for a present mind intent on pleasing thee. I ask thee for a thoughtful love, through constant watching wise, to meet the glad with joyful smiles, and to wipe the weeping eyes, and a heart at leisure from itself to soothe and sympathize. I ask thee for the daily strength to none who ask denied, and a mind to blend with outward life, while keeping at thy side content to fill a little space if thou be glorified. And if some things I do not ask in my cup of blessing be, I would have my spirit filled the more with grateful love to thee, and careful less to serve thee much than to please thee perfectly. In service which thy love appoints, there are no bonds for me, for my inmost soul is taught the truth that makes thy children free. And a life of self-renouncing love is a life of liberty."
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.